So five facts about the call of God. First fact, that many are called. Amen. Number two, there is a call to fruitfulness. Amen. Kent Green says, you don't need to hear a call. You're already called. Yes. You're already called. There is a call to fruitfulness. John chapter 15. Let's read from verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How many want to be a friend of Jesus? He just shown us a secret. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Please take us back. 14. It's a very important scripture. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you do whatsoever I command you, you will be my friend. How do you become a friend to Jesus? If you do whatsoever I command you. Isn't it a beautiful scripture? Yes. It's simple. You want to be a friend of God? That's why Abraham was called a friend of God. That's why Moses was called a friend of God. God said to Miriam, he said, I speak to Moses as a friend speaketh to a friend. He's my friend. Because Moses will do anything God commanded. You do what God commands you. You do what Jesus commands you. That's it. You are friends. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Amen. Amen. Numbers 12. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my... Verse 6. My microphone is changing. He said, hear now my words. If there be any among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in vision and will speak unto him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses, who is faithful. He's what?
Faithful.
Not that he's good. Yes. We all know Moses was no good. He even murdered somebody. He had an anger problem. Do you know Moses had an anger problem? Which was coming from his family bloodline. Most people don't know that. You know, there are many sins we struggle with. It has a strong foundation from our bloodline. Yes. There are some of you sisters, as you grow up, you're like your mother. All the things you saw in your mom that you had a bad feeling to her. Hey. Charlie. A thing, no? That's why you don't criticize your parents, because you have to pray for yourself. The young piglet said, Mommy, why is your mouth so big? He said, wait until you grow up. Then you come and ask me that question. Moses, let me just help you. I'm just divert a bit. It will help somebody. Anything, especially anything negative, you see in your parents, don't criticize, pray against it. Yes. Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So you're a righteous person, washed by the blood, you are born again. But most of us are standing on wrong fence. The foundation of our lives, our grandfathers, going back for years ago, is weak. It's not strong. It's destroyed.
So even though you are righteous, but you are struggling with certain things. Yes. That's how come that anybody whose parents have divorced, you see that it is one of the things that will be staring at you also. These are things we don't talk about. You know. But recently I was discussing something about somebody, and then the person told me that when he was this age, he did this. I said, oh, then that's the foundation explains. Yes. Jacob had 12 sons. Genesis 49. Let's read something. Genesis 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. You see, his power and his authority are in his words. That's why you should be very careful that you don't provoke a man of authority to speak negatively against you. Yes. Yes, especially your parents. You see, fathers and mothers carry one of the powerful authority and power. That's why Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Do you see? For this is the only commandment with a promise. It's like the commandment with promise, the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that your days on earth shall be long. God has attached one of the highest blessings to the way you relate with your parents. That's to do well. To the way, if you want to do well and you want to live long, you have to be very careful the way you relate with people whose lives and activities have given birth to you. Yes. Their lives, their activities have brought you forth, whether physically or in the ministry. That's how we honor our prophet. That's how honor your prophet Sunday. Yes. Yeah, because of this scripture. Amen.
Amen.
So Jacob, with the authority and the power that was invested in him, called his sons and said, come, I'm going to speak into your life. And whatever I'm going to say to your life will determine your future. In the last days, what will happen to you? Verse 2. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of... Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Serious. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. So you see Reuben, and if you trace Reuben and his descendants, you see that they never excel. If I had time, next time you invite me for a convention, I'll talk about it. But look at verse 5. Simeon, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, come not thou into their secret, unto the assembly, my honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. So Simeon and Levi, cursed be their anger. They were cursed to have anger issues. For it was fierce and their wrath, for it was cruel. They'll be wicked people. That was the curse, the foundation. The word that was spoken of a Levi. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of... Do you remember Levi? Anger. Cruelty. His anger is fierce. wife, a daughter of Levi. Levi, Levi. Say double portion. And bear a son. And that son is called Moses. Foundation. So Moses comes out. He see an Egyptian fighting against an Israeli, a Hebrew. He got angry. He has killed a guy. Easy. Levi, Levi. That's why you don't just marry anybody. Your parents divorced. You're also going to marry a lady whose parents are also divorced. Pray about it. And he looked his way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Go back to Genesis 49, verse 5. Simeon and Levi. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. 6. Oh my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto the assembly my honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. So they are into slewing. Killing is in their genes. Yes. Their anger is too much. Some people say when they are angry, they start breaking things. Start smashing things. Throwing food away. Verse 7. Oh, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Mercy, Lord. Yes. So Moses, do you know it was anger that stopped him from entering the promised land? It was this problem. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. One time, God invited him and wrote, took time to write 10 commandments, do everything. Said, go and carry to the people. When he got the people were misbehaving, he took the dad. Broke everything to pieces. Oh! Because what are all these? After I've taken time to write something, go and gather. Your anger. Levi is working. Levi, Levi. God. One day he told God that, am I the one who gave birth to all these people? If I found favor before me, kill me, kill me. I'm tired. I'm tired. If I found favor before you, kill me now. He was bored with God. Yes. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father buried the sick, the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers. Huh? Look at the way he was speaking. Can you imagine telling her, am I the one who gave birth to all these children? That you see, I should carry them on my shoulders and like, it's too much. But God was patient with him. Because there's something good he saw in him. He was faithful. Even though he had an anger. That's what I'm saying. God is not looking at your good. You are not good. He knows all your issues. Yeah, but when he sees your faithfulness, That is why on that day he said, "Thou good and faithful servant, you are faithful. You were good because you were washed by the blood. You were faith, you counted on you." He could count on you. That makes you good and attractive in the eyes of God. Else, you are nothing. Yeah. You can't be too good to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes. Your belief in God is what makes you good. Not because you didn't steal or you never stole. Or you've never committed fornication. No. In fact, some of these people are even the worst people in the eyes of God. Because they believe in self-righteousness. Two people went to the temple to pray. One said, "I fast twice. I pay my tithe. I pray. I do this. I do that. I'm not like this other guy." Another time, Moses. Oh, yes. God said to him, "You know, I want to show the people that I'm powerful." Do you see? The last time they complained of water, and I asked you to strike the rock with a rod, and water came. But this time, don't strike the rock with a rod. Speak to the rock, and water will come. So that will be magnified in the eyes of the people. But he was so bored with the people that he took the rod and hit them. Hey! God said, "This anger thing is too much. Oh, I've tolerated it for a long time. No. I think that it's okay. I think that you should retire and come home and rest and let somebody go and continue, because it looks like you can't handle this anger." Yes. And that was how his ministry ended. Anger. A lot of orangus, anger is what has ended their ministry. Wretched people, anger. They're angry with somebody. I would say anger lies in the bosom of fools. You are allowed to be angry, but sin not when you are angry. And the way to overcome anger, do you understand, is that you don't let the sun go down your anger. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26. Yes. So is that you have a short period to be angry. If you take too long, if you allow the anger to stay in your heart, you will sin. How would you sin? A door be open for devils. He said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger." Verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." The next opportunity, the next step is demons to come. It's like a wound. As soon as there's a wound on your body, bacteria, virus, germs are coming. They are coming to infect the wound. If you don't lie, don't sanitize it and see. That's why when you watch a movie, as soon as there's a car, they pour alcohol, something. They tie the wound. It's like quickly trying to. Because the next step is demons, devils. Yes, are infected. And you see that small part now is affecting the whole body. You have that, and before the whole body is dead. Yes. So Moses, do you understand? So I'm just saying that's why you should pray against foundational mistakes in your life. Fight against certain foundation, because I'm telling you, Moses was called by God. He spent days and nights, 40 nights with God in the cloud of glory and everything. But the foundation still affected him. Yes, the foundation. So you see people, because you speak in tongues, you're a Christian, you think that you're exempted from these foundations. Don't joke with foundations. Yes, don't joke with foundations. Even sicknesses. Yeah. See that what killed your mother is also trying to kill you. Yes. I know a family, nobody lives out to 55. Yes. 55, you are gone. And I met the brother. He said, "All my uncles died before 55. And I saw the last one died at 53. So I told the brother, "God has allowed you to see this so that you be water in serving God and in prayer." Because the way to neutralize the curse is to pray for the blessing or to do things that will invoke a blessing. So he said, you shall serve the Lord and the number of years he shall fulfill. So serve God so that he will give you more years, else you also not cross 55. Yeah. Serve the Lord and he will bless you. You see that people have come into this country, parents have come to this country for years. All that they have is loans and debt. It can also happen to you, but he said, if you obey and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. So you have to choose. That's why the book Neutralize the Curse, How to Avert Curses, is a very powerful book. If you have time to read it, you will see how powerful it is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sit down. So I diverted a bit. Yes. But I'm coming back to the highway. We went on a little excursion. But how many have learned something? How many did you know that Moses had a foundational problem? Oh, yes. Serious one. The house of Levi marrying a house of Levi. Charlie. Serious. I tell people with the truth. When I say they laugh and they see me, I said, the family I was coming from, or I'm coming from, by the grace of God, things have changed. It's a family of poverty. Real poverty. So when I was going to marry, I said, me, I'll never marry a poor girl. Oh, yes. I don't hide it. I said, I will never, from what I've seen and where I'm coming from, nobody has ever bought a car. Nobody has ever traveled abroad. Nobody can have gone to university finished. Everything is bad. That's why I took the name Apache. Oh, yes. I'll say I'll be the first of every good thing. I'll be the first fruit of every good thing. Yes. Because I saw a pattern in my family. Yes. Nobody could go to university. Intelligent people, by the time they are finishing university, either they are on drugs, they are whatever, they are sick, they can't write their exam. Everything was negative, I'm telling you. For my great-great-grandfathers, nobody ever married. Nobody ever had a wedding. Nobody ever traveled abroad. You make an attempt, you'll be arrested and brought back. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. Nobody ever became a pastor, serious Christian. Nobody ever. So when I became born again, I said, I felt the meaning of Apache. I said, I've changed my name to Apache. Good thing. Yes. So when I was going to marry, I didn't want to marry somebody with a similar background. The house of Levi marrying the house of Levi. Hey! So apart from the fact that my beloved was a Christian, joined the church at the age of 13 and everything, I also realized that her family was blessed. Mother and father blessed. Siblings blessed. I said, I'll marry this girl. Oh, yes. 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 And when I married her, I realized that by the grace of God, the 20 years we married, my life has moved from 0 to 100. Yes. Recently, I told her, I said that it's not every woman that a man will marry that he will become something great. But since I married you, God has blessed me. So I said, God bless you for accepting to marry me. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I was explaining to her that, you know, maybe in your family, your background, maybe there's some, your grandfather or something, maybe they serve God, but you don't know. Then recently, you were with my grandmother, my mother-in-law, that's my wife's mother, and she was telling me that her father was a priest. Yes, apostolic faith. Faith. In Ghana, they call it GD. Her father was one of the pioneers. He said her father would send them to go and tell them they'll be in the marketplace, evangelizing and preaching and teaching. I say, aha! And I understand. Yes. Because I look at even the whatever, they are not even, a lot of them are not serious in God. They don't go to church, but they have all prospect. Yes. Because blessings are also transgenerational. Yes. Hallelujah. So when you are going to marry, please, don't just look at the boom boom and the Manchester and Arsenal. Manchester, Arsenal. No. Be spiritual. Yes. Oh, you don't understand my message. Oh, yes. Go back to John chapter 15. Yes. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. You have been acting and operating as servants, but from today, that religion has. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Of all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16. For you have not chosen me. Nobody here chose God. Yes. God chose us. Yes. So nobody here chose God. It was whilst we were yet sinners, when we were sick. Remember the story I told about there? Yes. In fact, recently, another couple, very short girl, who was also HIV positive and is diabetic. Every day, she has to receive insulin. Every day. Every day. Married and divorced. Then one of these fine gentlemen in the church also came. He said, I like this lady. This lady is one of my faithful. God has shocked me in these few 2 years. God has shown me things I've never understood, and I've still been wondering. I said, God is what? God is really what? This brother comes. He said, I like this girl. Bishop, I want to marry this girl. I said, do you know her problems? He said, yes, Bishop, I know. He said, when they come, I feel also not okay. Yes, so I take time to ask questions. But I realize that they are okay. I said, okay, both of you go and do the test and whatever, they bring the results. That we'll discuss. The boy is negative, the sister is. Hey. And the guy tells me that he has also done all his investigation. He has gone for counseling with medical experts. And they have told him that it is manageable. They can manage it. And I see this fine, good-looking brother with a good job. And I look at many of our daughters in the church who are nice and correct. They don't have any of such issues. I said, this is the one I like. Wow. They went through counseling. They are married. The guy is looking where I said, looking handsome. The thanks be to my wife. Yeah. And both of them, you see how they treat their husband like kings. Because you see that this is real love. It's not anything. This is agape love. Yes. It amazes me. That is real. So I told her sister, I told her, sister, always remember that this man chose you, you didn't choose him. Wow. He chose you. There were five, you know, nice sisters. They've never divorced, they've never married, they've never divorced, they never have this problem. But he forsook all of them. He said, I want this one, I've chosen you. And Jesus is saying that you have not chosen me, but I chose you. I chose you. Nobody here chose the Lord. We were in our sins, in our wickedness. Then he bypassed the people who were not doing the bad things we're doing. He said, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. Even Peter, he said, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He accepted. He said, look, please, depart from me. I'm a sinner. I'm too bad. I'm not good for you. I'm ugly. I smell. But Jesus said, you are the one that I'm choosing. Do you see? Chosen what? Ordained. You should go. Say, you should go. Yes. And bring forth fruits. I'm talking about the call to fruitfulness. That's the second thing you must know about the call of God. Christian, chosen by God, chosen to save you. Do you see? He has given you a call to fruitfulness that you should go. Don't stay. Go. You see, you can never bear fruit until you make moves. Until there's action, there's an activity. Go and bring forth fruit, and the fruit should remain. That's church. You bring the souls and you establish them. Let them stay. That is church work. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So again, you see that there's a reward in serving God and following God. Yes. That's why God doesn't bless membership. He blesses stewardship. Stewardship. Yes. God doesn't bless you because you're a member of the church. No. Stewards. He blesses stewards. So remember this statement. God does not bless membership. He blesses stewardship. It's those who are doing something for him that have their 100% prayers answered. That receive rewards, eternal rewards and earthly rewards and blessings. That's why I say idleness is not permitted in the kingdom. Yes. At all. At all. So that's the call. Call to fruitfulness. To save souls, to gather people. And in scripture, when we say fruits, we are talking about souls. That we have been chosen and ordained, empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost, that we should go and bring forth fruits. Fruit. It's already called because of this scripture. Yes. To go and bring forth fruits. So God is expecting fruits, souls to come out of your calling and your ministry. God is a span of you to be able to say, this is my sheep, this is my sheep, that is my sheep. I brought this one to the Lord. I brought this one to church. I brought this one to church. Is that precious? Who brought you to church? Or you were born into the church? You weren't born into the church. Were you born with a Bible in your left hand and a cross in your right hand? Who brought you to church?
I wasn't invited to church. It was due to my misbehavior that I ended up in the church.
Misbehavior that you ended up being in the church.
Yes, please.
Wow, explain further.
So my mother used to go to a church. It was a family church that we all used to attend. And one Sunday I decided that this church, I'm not going again. So I told my mom that I'm not coming to church today. So my mom said to me that, if I'm not coming to our church today, that means I can't stay in the house. So me and my cousin, who was staying with me at the time, we decided that, okay, we were smart. So we unlocked the back door. And then we said that, okay, mom, you go. We'll sit outside and wait for you. So we went and sat outside, not knowing that my mom was smarter than us. So she had locked the back door. So because of that, I ended up calling my old sister, who happened to have been attending Lighthouse at the time. And she said that, don't worry, I'll come and pick you both up and we'll go to church. So I think I was about 11 at the time. So she picked us up and we attended Lighthouse Chapel International Luton. And since then, I've been in the church.
So our sister, when you listen to her testimony, is actually fulfilling Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them who are the called. You see, when you are the called, all things will work together for even your mistakes. Like she has been, her stubbornness, her misbehavior, some way, somehow, found her to become part of this ministry. Today she's singing in the house of the Lord. Yes. She's called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. Do you see? It's not accidental. Listen, there's nothing like accident as far as God is concerned, the kingdom of God is concerned. Everything in this kingdom is intentional. Well calculated.
Yes.
Well calculated. And intentional. Everything. Yes. That's how Matthew was called. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Look at it. Sit down, precious. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man. Say, he saw a man. He was passing. There were a lot of men. But he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Was writing receipts. People were paying their taxes. Writing. And then to him, Matthew, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now you think about it. If you were Matthew, at least give me three reasons why Matthew shouldn't have followed him. Somebody said he doesn't know him. No, but he knew him. He knew Jesus in town. Ken. People are picking through the queue. People are working. There's money here. Huh? And then when he was also, he has a wife. He never told his wife that he's going to resign from his work. But he followed him. So that day, as he was dressing up to leave the house, he didn't know that he was going to receive his calling. He arose and followed him. So those of you with plenty of, your excuses, what? If anything at all, you should go and, account for the money he has collected and officially resign and do the proper thing. But he said, I don't care what it means. Enough with whatever. They can sue me, I don't even care. The master is calling me, I'm following him. But some people just say, Jesus, follow me. Jesus, follow me. Say, oh, I'll follow you, but let me go and bid farewell to my family, Another guy said, let me go and bury my father first. You see, Jesus is not interested in your excuses as far as the call of God is concerned. No, not at all. As if he doesn't think. As if he thinks you don't have a family or you don't have all these reasons. No. The call is more important than anything else. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. But it's not accidental. God knows what he's doing. I said, God knows what he's doing. God knows why he's recruiting you. God knows why he's calling you. He has something special for you to do. He has a great assignment for you. Yes, he sees something great in you. Why would Jesus bypass all the other men who were there and call only one man? That's why I said that he sees something great in you. Matthew was a writer. He wrote more than all the disciples. One day Jesus spoke for 3 chapters. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. Red ink. No interruption. Yeah. People didn't write even one sentence. The disciples were there. They couldn't write. Only Matthew. Yes. The beatitude, the sermon of beatitude. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure, they shall see. Nobody could write, but the guy who was writing at the time Jesus called him. You see, that was his gift. His gift was in writing. He wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. If it was not mighty, would he have known the sermon on the Beatitudes? The sermon on the mountain?
Wow. You are preaching good,
Bishop. If it was not mighty, would he have known the generation of Jesus Christ? He was the one who wrote it. Wrote all the genealogy of Jesus.
Wow.
None of the disciples could do it. So you could see that. That's what I said. God is a God of purpose. There's nobody who calls anybody without a reason. He knew that Matthew would be the only one. Technology. You, my sister, what's your name? Rachel. I tell you, God finds something beautiful in you. Yes, you are special. That's why he chose you. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. Because I have something in you that I will need to save the world, to change the lives of people, to transform nations and cities and villages. There's something in you. He knows every one of us here. Bible says he has given to every man several gifts according to our several abilities. Yes. He was not expecting Peter to be able to write certain things. He was an unlearned man, ignorant man. He was not into books. He was not into studies. But he also knew that Peter was the one who would speak in one sermon, 3,000 people give their life to Christ. Speak another sermon, 5,000 people will be added. Then when he preaches, even though he may not be able to speak good Greek or Hebrew or Latin or whatever, but the power in his words will make him restless and say that, Pastor, you are preaching too much. Tell her, what should we do to be saved? That was his gift. Is it not beautiful? Yes. Amazing. You have not chosen me. I chose you. What's your name? Tosi. No, it's okay. Tosin. Are you a brother to the guy who plays for Chelsea? Okay. You will play for Jesus Christ. Tosin. God chose you. I'm telling you. Something great in you, even though you don't see anything great about yourself. Maybe when you think about yourself, you think of all the bad things you have done, all the bad stuff, that God has gone beyond it. And he said, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you. I know your issues. I know your mistakes. I know the things that you are even worried about. But there's something special about you. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. He has chosen you and brought you here. You see, even to be sitting here is supernatural. Yes. That God has put, there's a desire. That a young man at your age, you will stop everything in the world and say, I'm going to give myself, I'll pay for my own camp, pay for my own hotel, and I'll be here for 3 days and sit and listen to preaching. It is supernatural. It is. In fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that it is God who causes us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah, that thing is caused by God. It's supernatural. Yes, Philippians 2:13. It is God. It's supernatural. It is God who worketh in you both to will. Do you see? The willingness to come here and to do of his good pleasure by sitting here and spending time. That thing, it is God who is causing it. And don't take it for granted. Yes, it is God. And he has brought you here to hear these words. To stir you up, to let you rise up, to birth that, Charlie, you are special, that God has chosen you. Look, when I used to play football, one of the moments in football is when you are chosen to play. I'm telling you. Yes. Nothing is more frustrating than to be in a group and you are never selected. You are never chosen. That's why in some team, you see that somebody wants to go out. And they say, oh, but you're in a good team. They are paying you a lot of money. Do you understand? Like Rashford. Is it Rashford? Rashford. They were paying about $350,000 a week. But because he was on the bench and the coach would not select him, he said, I'm out. I want to go out. I will take a salary, whatever, cut. Because it's like everybody wants to be chosen of a sort. So sometimes it's not even about man, but you want to be chosen. It's special. So he's going to Barcelona. And they've slapped ready for that. I would prefer that I'll be chosen to play than not to be chosen and given a lot of money. Oh, yes. Especially when you are chosen. That's at weddings, the sisters who smile a lot. Because they know that there are more ladies who are not chosen. The brothers are not too excited. They are thinking about the bills and other things. But I see the sisters, they are so happy. They'll be doing their rings like this. So I've been chosen. I've been chosen. Yes. And you see all the bridesmaids are her friends. None of them is chosen. But she is chosen. He's showing the ring. I got a ring on my finger. But you go to Tanzania now, 10 million men are looking for husbands. Yes, 10 million women. Yeah, because there are more ladies, more women than men everywhere. Yes. Serious. Yes. In Tanzania, there are 10 million ladies who are looking for husbands. Not girls. I'm not talking about small girls who are here to. People are ready for marriage. Yes, ripe for marriage. But nobody is choosing them. They are about 10 million. So if ever somebody chooses to marry you, you must be special. It must be a blessing. Eritrea to the same thing. Yes. Japan, the same thing. In fact, Japan, when you marry, they will even give you money. Yes. To marry. It's not a small thing to be chosen. And then Jesus has chosen you. And look at the way you are handling it. And just like a man would choose a woman for a reason. For a reason. Brothers, is that not so? Every sister who is chosen as a wife must know the reason. Go and find out your husband. Why did you choose me? You can ask him, tell me three things that made you to choose me and married me. Three things. Yes. And they will tell you among all the things, they need three things from you. Softness, delight, and comfort. Oh, yes. 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 A man married for these three things. Softness, delight, and comfort. SDC. Yes. You invite me for marriage seminar, I will teach you more about that. Yes. So as soon as you are chosen, a man chooses you, and you don't fulfill these three things, you got a problem. Yes. And your man is not going to be happy with you, baby. He's not going to be happy with you at all. Every man is looking for softness, not hardness. And that's why, sisters, God has made everything about you soft.
We want to hold something soft. Softness. That's why when a brother is looking for something hard, we say, this hard thing. How are you attracted to this hard thing? Oh, you still don't understand my message. Sister Philippa, it looks like your people, they don't understand my message. Maybe I should go to Mozambique and preach this message. You are making me decode the message too much. Brothers, are you not attracted to something soft? It's rather a problem when you are attracted to something hard. It's a problem. Both Arsenal and Manchester. It has to be soft. Is that not so? Yes. Even the voice has to be soft. Yes. Yes. So that's why if you are a lady shouting, there's no softness in your voice, you got a problem, baby. You got a problem. You got a serious problem. Because men are attracted to softness. A soft voice. A soft answer. It even turns away wrath or anger. Yes. But when your husband asks you a question, honey, where is my food? Which food are you talking about? Who should cook for you? Did we all not go to work? We are all tired. If you can't order food from the restaurant, it's up to you. I like to have my peace of mind. Hey. Brother, is that the reason why you married? Yes. Sister, are you here? You have gone home. The best person to teach marriage seminars and all that. The best speaker should be a man, not a woman. Well, you're a woman, you have never been a man before. How do you know what I want? How do you know what I want? Yes. And then delight. Oh, yes. Delight. Delight. Yes. Delight. You understand the word delight? Pleasure, pleasure. A man wants to have pleasure. That is why Sarah, when the angel said that you are going to conceive and give birth at the age of 90, Sarah said, hey, pleasure and delight. Because Sarah knows that, listen, a woman, what is asking me to do, do you understand? It's a job of pleasure and delight. So you see some wives, they have married and they have made themselves cadaveric, old woman, no pleasure. When you say, let's go for vacation, you say, oh, where? Then comfort. Yes. Make a man comfortable. At home, no quarreling, no fighting. Better to dwell on top of the roof than to stay in the house with a quarrelsome, cantankerous woman. Because a man is looking for comfort. Yes, comfort. Yes, relaxation. Peace of mind. Yes, so that's what I'm saying. When a man chooses you, these are your three assignments. Softness, delight, and comfort. Yes. Take your seat. Yes. Sisters, you are going to have one of the best marriages in your life. These three keys are going to guide you.
Yes.
Once you minister these three things to your husband, oh, you are going to enchant him. Yes. I'm telling you. Oh, yes. Now, Jesus is saying that when I choose you, I don't have three things from you. I actually have two. Two. Call the fruits. And number two, make sure the fruit stays. These are the two. These are the two. That's all. That's my reason for choosing you. And if you can do these two, your life will be full of testimonies. Anything you ask of the Father in my name, you just have it. To just come. To just come. To just come. Yes. It'll just come. Oh, yes. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So when you don't bear fruits, just like a wife that a man has chosen, married you, done all the things, brought you to the house, and you fail to produce or provide or to do these three things, he will never be happy with you. In the same way, Jesus will never be happy with you after he has chosen you. Huh? And now you don't produce any fruits. Huh? Luke 13. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 13. Let's read from verse 6. And he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Hey! He said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Say, I'm the fig tree. And find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? This is how God reacts to you when you don't bear fruits. He feels like cutting you off. You become obnoxious. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Change the version. Change the version. The gardener said, verse 7. Finally, he said to the gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been any single fruit or fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. It's a waste. So you must be afraid to be a Christian who doesn't respond to the call of fruitfulness. Yes. God's reaction to people who don't bear fruit is very negative. Very, very negative. That's why sometimes people even become orangus. And I tell people, I say, sometimes God is the one who is cutting them off. Yes. Because their presence is more devastating and obnoxious. So sometimes God, who is the builder of the church, had them out. Yes. One day I had an orangu. I mean, this was somebody I would never have asked her to leave the church. Never. Even if God has spoken to you, it would have been very difficult. But God himself found a way and sacked the person from the church. But after the person left the church, I realized that, hey, God is really the builder of his church. The things we discovered. I mean, she was a lady pastor.
not knowing that people advising them to leave church. There were several people he had advised our church. Meanwhile, she was in the church with her family. Yes. I met a brother who joined our church. He was a wild unbeliever. And suddenly the guy stopped the church and came back later. Only to find it was that sister who told his mother that don't let your son join our church. And that our church is not a good church. And she was there with her family. So this woman fought her son from coming to the church. By the time we met this guy again, he had become a wild unbeliever with drug tattoos all over. Yes. So some people, God himself, God said, any branch in me that beareth not fruit, I'll cut it off. I will purge it out. God purges his church from time to time. Sometimes we don't understand. So when people leave the church and they start displaying their character, you wonder. But you see, what you don't know that this person has always been like that. Only that we didn't know. He has been pretending and doing different things, but it's not that God has exposed him. Yes. Wicked people. Spreading lies, stories, different things. But when they see you, they kiss you the kiss of love, like Judas. Jesus said, friend, that betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. Yes. So, my dear friends, Jesus is looking at you and he said, since I chose this person and I planted him in, he brought even one soul. It's been 5 years, he has not brought even one soul to me. You say you are a dancing star. And so what? He chose you to be a dancing star? No, to go and bear fruits. Bring. Say, go and bring fruits. And that your fruit should remain. Thank God for your dancing skills. It doesn't please God. It makes happy in chair, but it doesn't mean it pleases God. What pleases God is that you bring the fruit. That's why I said that you are my friends. If you obey my command, is that go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That is my command. That's why he told them before the scripture that, look, if you want me to be your friend, you want me to like you, reveal secrets to you, then obey my commandment. My command is that go. Go. There's a call. I'm calling you. There's a call to go and bring forth fruits. Don't stay in the church. Dancing star. Ooh, ooh. You are staying, but after doing this, go, move, take some moves. Go somewhere. Preach somewhere. Get some fruits. Bring them into the kingdom. Establish them into the kingdom. That's what it means. That's what it means. Thank God for your beautiful song of standing here and singing nice song. But after, go somewhere. Preach somewhere and bring the fruit and make sure that the fruit stays in church. Remains in the church. That means you have to do follow up and counseling and interaction. That's what establishes the church. He said, I have chosen. This is a call. It's a call. The reason I've chosen is for this reason. It's as simple as that. He said, all these 3 years. So every day of your life, Jesus is waiting and he's looking. When is he going to bring the fruits? When am I going to see 20 members? 20 percenter members? 60 church members? When am I going to see that? He's looking. He's looking. And he's not finding. And he's becoming frustrated. And he wants to take a decision to cut you off. To withdraw his power, his presence, his grace, his anointing, everything to withdraw from you. And the vine dresser said, please, I'm begging you once. Say one more chance. Give him one more year. One more chance. So some of us, angels have pleaded on our behalf to give us one more chance. Look at verse 8. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, do what you want to do. That shall cut it down. So when I see people who are not bearing fruit, I'm looking at potential orangus. I'm looking at people who can easily be cut off. And you don't see them in church again. And the next time you see them, they're on social media. Fooling. Spreading lies. Talking against people who are bearing fruits. When you see somebody bearing fruit and has gathered so many thousands of fruit, you say, oh, even Michael Jackson will also gather. You are looking that I'm playing. When you were Christian, you couldn't even gather one soul. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1. Sit down. There is a call to fruitfulness, my dear friends. There's a call to fruitfulness. And God is looking up to you to bring fruits. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a fruitful hill. Ah, Jesus is the beloved of the Lord. He has a vineyard in a fruitful hill. And he fenced it. He's talking about you. He has put you in a nice church. The church, the kingdom is a vineyard. He has put you in a nice church. Huh? His fence, you gathered out the stones there and planted it with a choicest vine. Choicest vine. And built a tower in the midst of it. Provided everything, just everything to make you become fruitful. And look that you should bring forth grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Something nice to come out of you. But look at what is coming out of you. God has invested so much in you with the aim of getting something wonderful, something sweet, something pleasing. But rather, the opposite. Oh, what a sad story. What a sad situation. Verse 10, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to the vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked, I should bring forth grapes. It brought it forth wild. What else? To all the preaching, all the messages on YouTube, all the GTWC messages, all the camp messages, all the crusade messages, all the teachings, all the macaros, all the books. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Verse 5. Go. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. Serious. You see, your fruitfulness is the reason why you are enjoying divine protection. You see, when you become fruitful, you enjoy divine protection. Divine protection. You see, one day we were in bed, we were asleep in the middle of the night around 2 a.m. Then my wife heard some noise behind our gate. Our room was upstairs. So she peeped through the window and she saw a witch doctor with her team standing behind my gate, and they were casting spells into my house. They were throwing things, and they had dressed in the middle of the night. They were wearing some red rope around their waist, and they were so my wife came in, wake up, come and see what, thieves or armed robbers? No, come. So I went tiptoeing, peep through my window. What's going on? Are they armed robbers who are trying to enter the house? No. They were witch doctors. Carrying things and throwing things. I look at it.
Then I went back to bed.
Covered myself with a duvet. I went into deep snoring. I'll not waste my time. I'll not even pray about it. There's a fence. Is it not Satan who testified about Job? There was a day when the children of God have gathered themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came, and God said, "Hey man, Mr. Man, where have thou been?" He said, "I've moving to and fro, going up and down upon the surface." God said, "When you were moving up and down, did you consider my servant Job?" "Ah, that guy. I saw him, yes. But hey, the security around his house and his family and the work of his hands is serious. It's more than the White House. Where this man is Putin, what's the name of his place? The Kremlin. It's more Kremlin." This is Satan. Job 1:10. Has not thou made a hedge about him? Shines a version. You have always put a wall of protection. Always. Satan has been moving to and fro. Do you understand? Satan moves here. He knows your address. Oh. He knows your address. He knows your postcode. You have always put a wall of protection around him. I've seen it. And his home and his property. You see, so when in Isaiah he said that this is what I will do because I'm not happy that you are not bringing forth grapes, good fruit. This is what I'm going to remove your protection. I'll take away the hedge. Because the hedge is so that you can be allowed to be fruitful. That's the reason why God will keep you alive. That you sit in a plane and fly up and down, nothing happens. Fruitfulness. Everything is tied to your fruitfulness. I'm telling you. Your long life, good health, protection is tied to your fruitfulness. I'm telling you. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. First of all, I will take away the hedge thereof. And it shall be eaten up. And break down the wall thereof. And it shall be trodden down. There are thousands of demons, of diseases, sicknesses, calamities that are walking around. And they have only one aim. They want to come for you. They want to come for you, but they see a wall of protection. They see a hedge. Because God has seen that you are bearing fruit. And he wants to protect you so that you continue to bear more fruits. Yeah. Time, Bishop Steve, somebody took my picture. You know, where I'm coming from, where I am, you know, it's not a Christian nation. They say they are pagans. Yes. So when they are dedicating or inaugurating or whatever, they don't call pastors or, as you see in other countries, they rather call witch doctors. And they slaughter bulls, cows, and things. Sometimes they bury cows. Yes, for a long time, they will not even allow churches to come into the country. Wow. Even now, it's not easy for a mission to come there. You can't easily come. If you're going to start a church in 1 month, you have to have 5,000 members before the church will be registered to have a permit to stay in the country. Wow. Yes. Oh, yes. That should explain to you that they don't want you to come there. Bible and all those things. So the whole country is saturated with witch doctors. Mission work was banned in the country from 1975 till 1993. So witch doctors are the predominant groups. I took my picture to go and hand me to a witch doctor. The person said, when the witch doctor saw my picture, he screamed, said, "Take this picture from here." When he saw the picture, he said, "Take," he screamed, and asked him, the man should go from the place with that picture. Yes, there's power here. I said there's power here. Hapodelaki. Say hapodelaki. Oh, I'm teaching you Portuguese. Say hapodelaki. Say it again. Hapodelaki. Yes, we are international church, so learn some few Portuguese. That means there's power here. Hapodelaki. Yes. Another powerful witch doctor came to our church. And he came to kill me. He said he had told one of his clients, who was now a member of our church. The lady has become born again, is now in our church. So she told the lady that, oh, these churches and pastors, they are not powerful. So one of these, I will come to your church and kill your pastor. Yes. And he actually came. Tell a true story. I have pictures to show you. So, he came at the wrong time also. He came on a day of a convention. Yes. Oh, yes. And I was the speaker of the convention. And when you are the speaker, you go and wait on God for days and charge up and come in the fullness of the spirit and of the power. Yes. So I think he saw my poster and said, oh, this is the day I will go and sort this guy out. And he came. He came and sat. So this is me. Sat at the left of the room, the last row. He was there. Oh, don't worry, he's not here. He can't be here. So, I was preaching. There's an evil person in this room. So I just said, there's an evil person in this room. Then the Holy Spirit turned my eye to the corner there. And I said, you are sitting at the back there. Then I turned and said, Sharabakatorabaya. Suddenly, look, I'm telling you, I saw the power of God lifted the man literally into the air. And he felt the boom! Scattered all the chairs and the people around. And ran out of the church. And left a plastic bag in his left shoe. Hapodelaki. So nobody knew what was happening. Service. We were taking tests, and the power of God was so strong that day. So people were giving their testimony of healing. Then this lady comes shaking. So what is the problem? He said, the man who ran out of the church, I know him. I said, I know him. Then he told us the story. He said, I used to go to him for powers. Powers for what? He said, to charm men. Oh, yes. So we told her, what was it? Oh, he used to give me something to bath, cream, and then when I do that, I'll go to town. Every man will be calling me. Wow. So I asked the lady, was it working? He said it never worked. He said, I can walk the whole day, not even a house fly will call me. There's no power. So as she was talking, then an usher brought the plastic bag that was, when we opened, we saw charms, things, dark, something funny. I said, wow. And you know, she told the lady that I killed a lot of pastors. So I'll come and kill your pastor. So yeah. But I said, you don't know the protection. A food bearer. You will fence around him. You will put a hedge. Yes. So as we are here, there are hedges around people. Oh yeah, there's divine covering and protection around people. I'm telling you. It's not a joke. Real protection. Yes. One time I was going to sleep. My wife was already in bed. She was carrying our second baby. As soon as I entered the room to sleep, I heard the voice of God. Satan is coming here. Not demons. Satan is coming here. So I lay on the bed. I started praying in tongues. Suddenly, I saw my door opening. Opening. Then who did I see? A huge creature with fire in the eyes. I couldn't see the face, but the fire in the eyes, like burning. Then suddenly, the eyes started throwing balls, fireballs. Not in a dream, I'm telling you. God is my witness. And my wife was heavily pregnant. In the last month, she was lying there. And I realized the fireballs were directed towards her stomach. So I was laying there, shara-ba-kara-ba-ra. I bind it. And the fireball will come as it's getting to her, and it will stop. It will fall off like that for about 30 seconds. Then it disappeared. I got up praying into shara-ka-ba-ka-ta-ra-ba-ya. Then my wife woke up. As soon as she woke up, she was in labor. She said, the baby is coming. Somebody was just our neighbor, came with a car, carried her into the car, straight to the hospital, dropped her in the hospital. I said, I'm coming home to get her things. As soon as I left the hospital, in 3 minutes, I got a call. The baby just came. Oh, yes. You see, Satan, you had come at the time. Either to kill my wife and the baby, whatever he, he came to steal, to kill and to destroy. Yes. But God has given me advanced knowledge. Yes. I'm telling you. You see, God has a special interest in food bearers. I'm telling you. You may not even need to pray for protection. It's a principle. You always fence your garden. Yes. You always fence your garden. Yes. But when you don't bear fruit, it's, I'll break that. It's a waste. It's a waste. My, the investment is a waste. It's a waste. I had a keyboardist. Early days of the church. We started a cappella. When you start a church, a cappella, there's no instrumentalist. So every time you are clapping your hands, then we got the keyboard. We brought it back there to play. So I kept praying, oh Lord, send forth more laborers. You said in your word we should pray to the Lord of the harvest that you send forth more laborers. Lord, I need laborers who can play instruments. Send them, Lord. A keyboardist, send him, Lord. I prayed that, and then this brother came. Play the keyboard. Church was exciting. And you know, these instrumentalists, especially when they are not spiritual, they become so rude and proud. Nobody can control. It's like they control and sabotage the church. You can't correct them. You can't rebuke them. It's like, child, all that you have, take care of me well. So you won't come for rehearsals and all kinds of problems. So the choir leader will blast him. Then he became offended. He said he will not even play again. So he will come to church. He will just sit there, and the instrument, the keyboard is dead. Nobody is playing, and we are all struggling with a cappella. So I called him one after the service. I called him. I said, brother, do you think you are doing God a favor? Then you are deceived. I said, I prayed, and God brought you here. If you won't play the keyboard, all I need is to pray again. God is the Lord of the harvest. He will bring his own person. Yes. So if you think we'd rather beg God that he will bring a better person. But for you, I tell you, God is giving you an opportunity. And every opportunity of God comes with a privilege. Yes. As soon as they make you an ambassador, it comes with certain privileges. It comes with security, protection, and so many other things, financial blessings and everything. Yes. So as you are withdrawing yourself from playing this thing, I want you to know that you will lose something. Yes. As soon as you retire or resign from being an ambassador or a prime minister, all the privileges are also withdrawn. Let me tell you. In fact, there were two people. One was the bass guitarist. I spoke to them. The following Sunday, the bass guitarist came to play. But the brother intentionally came late. Then we talked to him again, but this time he got and he wouldn't come to church. 3 weeks after, I was there when I got a call from his wife. Pastor, my husband is admitted at the intensive care. He says, I shouldn't tell you. I shouldn't let anybody in the church know about it. But Pastor, I'm afraid. Things are getting worse. I said, what happened to him? He said, he just suddenly became sick. So I said, don't worry, I'm coming to the hospital to pray. When we got there, so where he is, we can't go there. They actually gave us, you know, those things that they dressed to go to the moon. And they were trying to put some on me. Yes. But it didn't work. The man said, oh, it's better you don't go there. So we went home. The next day in the morning, the wife called me that my husband is dead. 3 weeks. This is a strong guy who had no sickness. But the wife said something to me I'll never forget. He said, before my husband died, Pastor, he told me the wife is called Florence. He said, Florence, I remember what Pastor told me. I didn't believe. Since I stopped playing the keyboard and I stopped going to church, I don't know where this sickness came from. Now look at me. He said, I'm just asking God to show me mercy. When I recover, I will play the keyboard every day. These were the words of his wife. The wife, yes. And he said that 2 days before he died. It was too late. And he died. He said, you don't know what you are doing. Is it like the vision, the encounter that I had? I said, Jesus, I have not finished your work. It's the reason why I returned into my body. Yes. Bearing fruit means everything to God. And God will go the length and breadth to protect you. He said, any branch in me that bear fruit, I will prune it, I'll protect it, I'll work on it so that it will continue to exist and be healthy to bear more fruits. Yes. That's why you should never underestimate and play around the call to fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is God. It means everything. It means everything. The scripture shows us how God reacts to people who don't bear fruits. Yes. Another time, Jesus was walking with the disciples. He was hungry and he saw a fig tree afar off. Hoping that when they get it, they'll find some figs, joy. And when he got there, there was none. How did Jesus react? Cursed the tree. Wither from beneath and let no man eat of thee again. You are finished. How can you be receiving rains, sunshine all these years, expecting for you to bear fruit, and now we come, we find only leaves. We find only dancing in church. So fruits, you don't bring people to the house of God. The disciples heard it. Then they went their way. Then the next day, they come back and they saw the fig tree withered completely. It was just a sign and a message to the disciples that, look, when God expects you to bear fruit, so bear fruits. That's one thing prophet is always encouraging his bishops. Let's continue. The next step forward is maintenance of the aim. Let's plant more churches. Let's train more people. Let's raise more pastors. Let's raise more disciples. Even though we may be aging physically, but the mind must always be renewed to do the same thing. That is the way to keep us relevant, strong, healthy, and going. Yes. Else, God will draw a certain grace from you, and you see that you are even backsliding. You don't feel God anymore. You see that you become weak spirit. Yes. So there's a call to fruitfulness. Tell 10 people there's a call to fruitfulness. Go around, tell them there's a call to fruitfulness. Yes. Sit down.